Hello everyone.
Hello, hello.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tally.
And we are the Lazy Book Lovers. This is a podcast of book lovers who procrastinate about reading and have never-ending to-be-read piles. Today's episode is a series focus one. We haven't done one of these in a while or at all.
No, we did the Hunger Games one.
We did Akatar ages ago. Akatar one, yeah. That was accidental though.
Yeah, that was just us talking about.
Oh, if you guys have been around for
since
a long time,
the Akatar days.
That obsession. Oh, I haven't had an obsession like that in ages.
No, you haven't.
Stardew for a little bit, but it's not the same as a book obsession.
No, yeah.
Stardew's starting to die as a hyperfocus, and I'm really sad about it. Because that one was giving me so much joy.
Are you stuck in winter in it or something?
I've just got through a winter, so that's probably why.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, we're doing the Wayward Children series that's by Seanan Maguire. Both of us listened to all of it, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. I can recommend them as audiobooks, by the way. They're very ethereal and like, they're really easy just like to sink into them. They're great audios.
Yeah, but I discovered that the physical books, or I guess the digital books, have illustrations in.
Yeah, I know. I've got...
Which I didn't know.
I've got the paperback saved on Amazon.
Yeah.
Because I want them, because they're pretty. Yeah. Box set of the paperbacks isn't that much. It's like 30 quid.
Oh, that's really good. I've been getting them in hardback, so they're like a tenner each.
Yeah. Before we get cracking with the episode, there are two ways you can interact with us after this if you want to get involved. We do a bi-monthly... Bloody read, is that the right way to phrase it? For 2 months, we read a book over 2 months. Our July, August buddy read should be live by the time you're listening to this. It will be linked in the description, wherever you listen, and also you can find it on our socials. Mm-hmm. So that is on Storygraph, but also you can follow along on socials and stuff. We have a Facebook group, so you can join there. And it's where we read a book with you and share comments and stuff. So it's kind of like a virtual book club where you don't have to talk to people, which is like great. And then also if you like us and would like to contribute some money towards us, we do actually have a Ko-fi subscription link, which is kind of like Patreon, gets you access to an exclusive Discord where we're trying to build like a little book community, basically. Okay, that's the thing. On to Away with Children.
Okay, so the summary of the series as a whole.
Yeah.
Wayward Children takes place at a boarding school for children who have journeyed to magical lands and been forcibly returned to the real world. The volumes alternate between being set at the school versus showing the lives of the children while they're in their alternate worlds. I think that format kind of lessens towards the end of the series.
Well, no, because the ones where they're in
their
magical lands,
yeah,
they always end by coming back to real life. So I think that's maybe why. And sometimes the ending in real life is a bit longer.
Mm.
But it always is, the most of the book is them in their world.
So we are going to talk spoilers for the books, but they're all well worth picking up. So I encourage you to pick them up. At the moment, there's 9 books. There's a 10th book coming out. I think it's due out in November.
Is that supposed to be the last one?
And it's supposed to be the last one. Well, it's the last one that she's been signed on for. Book 9 does feel like it's building up to an ending, doesn't it? Oh, this is saying it's coming out in January 25.
Time to wait.
You can read the books mostly in any order, or that was the idea at the beginning, but I do feel like towards the end you need to be reading them in the order they come out. So yeah. People online, I've seen loads of people sharing their book reading orders. I would just suggest reading them in the publication order.
Yeah, because that's how I listen to them.
I think that's the way they're intended to be consumed. So
I think you could reasonably jump about.
Yeah.
But I think there's certain bits that would be spoilers.
Number 8 and 9 have to be done 8 and 9.
Yeah. There's bits of like Jack and Jill later where they appear in other people's books.
Yeah.
Where it's going to spoil book 1 and 2, Jack and Jill story.
Yeah.
So I think... Yeah, it better to read them in order.
I think it'd be a better experience to read them in publication order.
Yeah.
Mm. So we thought we would take it in turns to try and do a one-line summary for each book.
Two-line summary, yeah. Rather than the usual rambling.
Go on, you can start.
Okay, wait, I feel under pressure. Oh, book one is Nancy's book, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Nancy's the one that came from the world, the death world, where she had to be still. Mm-hmm. Sorry, these were February for me.
The statue world.
Yeah, the statue world. Okay, so...
This is your idea, so, and you're impression it already, aren't you?
This is my idea.
Do you want me to do the first
one? No. Okay, so our book one is our introduction to Eleanor West's school for wayward children. Nancy came from a death world where she was basically trained to stand like the stillest statue that ever lived. And now she's in this world that's full of movement and busy and she's not coping, which is why she goes to the school. And in this school, she meets like Sumi, who came from a chaos world. And Sumi is just nuts. She is pure chaos. And I love her. There's mysterious deaths happening at the school. And Nancy came from a death world, so she's like, I think I can help you guys figure this out. Do I do a good job?
Yeah, it was about 12 lines. Yeah. But no, that was very less. I think the plan is to just ramble less than we usually do.
Yeah. Well, there's 9 books, so like we can't do a full ass ramble.
The second book, Down Among the Sticks and Bones, follows twins Jack and Jill, who we meet in the first book. This explains their lives leading up to the first book and after the events of the first book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack and Jill might be my favourite characters.
I really like Jack as well.
Sumi and Cade are strong seconds.
Yeah.
But I think because Jack and Jill literally have like 3 books where they are kind of main characters. We just learn so much about them. It's just hard not to love them, I think.
I like Sumi quite a bit, though.
Sumi is wonderful.
So she's like so perceptive as well.
There is a core group of kids that pretty much are in all the books, just like in and out.
Well, they end up kind of sort of starting to help run the school in the end.
Yeah. Right. Do you want to do the next one, which is Sumi's one? So.
Oh, okay. Yes. Right. So, this is when, Sumi, spoilers, we've already warned you about this. So Sumi dies in like book one. Yeah, book one. But then her daughter comes back from the chaos land she came from.
Yeah.
And is from sort of the future, but time doesn't work like that. Where in the place she came from, in her dream world.
Nonsense world.
That's where I was looking for, thank you. Timelines don't quite match up. So she's like, I need to rescue my mum from death because my timeline's coming undone. I mother won't be born. She's like, I literally left her husband there. So then all the crew get together to try and go and rescue Sumi. And also at this point, we have the mermaid joins at this point as well. Or the ex-mermaid.
Yeah.
Whose name I have lost?
I was going to say Reagan, but that's the horse girl. She is called... she'll turn up in another book. She's got a book coming up.
So they go through like the death world. They visit...
They see Nancy.
And then they go to the nonsense world that Sumi came from. I feel like they go through another one. They go through Jack and Jill's world as well, don't they?
I can't remember now. I can't remember. Is this the one where Christopher comes along?
Yeah, the bone kid. Cade.
Sumi's daughter and mermaid.
Mermaid lady.
I've just got to look up her name.
Well, her book is further down.
Yes. Why isn't her name here? Cora.
I know it felt C-y. This is the first book where we get Cora as well. And then she ends up...
And she's just like, what the fuck is going on?
They do go to Jack and Jill's world because she ends up going in the sea. Or is that in another book? There's a problem with me reading them all in such quick succession.
That's another book.
Where she ends up going in the...
That's her book.
The Drowned God Sea.
That's her book, because that's where the drowned gods are.
Okay, ignore me, guys.
Yeah. Because that's the book where the Russian girl, I can't remember her name.
Anyway, we jumped about a bit.
Just like the kids do. Right, the fourth book is In an Absent Dream. And this one follows a teacher at the school who we meet in the first book.
Yeah.
And it shows her life of when she found her door, what her door was like, etc. She has a really cool door.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. So the portals, they refer to as doors. You find your door.
Yeah. Yeah, because Lundy is the school's psychologist, and she looks like a young girl, but she's actually quite old, and it's to do with a deal she made when she went through her door that went wrong.
Yeah, she was at the Goblin Market or something like that, it's called.
Which demands, like, absolute truth, basically, and, like, no, that's fairness, fair bargains.
Fair bargains, yeah, everything must be fair.
And if you don't strike a fair bargain, or if you renege,
you start turning into a bird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's like, when she's a child, it's like the 50s or something. Mm. So the life she leaves behind is very different to like what the kids now are leaving behind. Yeah, it's quite cool. I do like her book. I mean, to be fair, I like all the books.
I like the bit where, because her dad had gone to the market and had said no.
He'd decided to stay in the real, in quotations, real world.
Yeah, and the bits where she's like talking with her dad and being like, is this a fair bargain and that kind of thing.
Yeah, when she comes back and she's got these feathers in her hair, but they've wound them in as like an aesthetic thing. But he sees them and he's worried she's turning into a bird. And he's like, oh my God. And that's kind of when she realises he went to the market as well when he was younger. But we pick it up from the beginning when she chooses her name Lundy, and they're like, oh, someone else had that name once.
Well, it's just, I don't know why it stuck with me. It's because obviously the reason the children find these doors is because there's something in their life that they are lacking.
Mm.
And what children think they need is not always necessarily good for them or that kind of thing. But it's when her dad goes, what did I do wrong? Like, what were you missing? Because then he knows that's why find a door. Yeah. And he's like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, because her dad is very much framed as he tries to make their lives good.
Mm. But in doing so, pushed his daughter a certain way and made her life difficult by being principal and being a principal first.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, these books are great if you're a parent and you want to just have loads of guilt about all the decisions you're making that you think are right and they're not.
Yeah, like, I mean, Jack and Jill's story where, like,
oh, their parents are just horrid.
Clearly didn't want children when didn't get perfect children.
They just did it for the aesthetics of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And gave, like, that's why Jack's got severe OCD, basically, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So what's the next book?
Oh, no, is it my turn again? Oh, Across the Green Grass Fields, right? No,
Come Tumbling Down.
Oh, damn it. Wait, I'm having to, like, briefly remind myself of what each one is.
Yours is a Jack and Jill one, isn't it?
Oh, so this is another, we dip back into Jack and Jill's story after the events of books before, so the murders are actually her sister's fault. They end up having to kill Jill in order to basically stop the murders happening. And then Jack is a mad scientist in training in her world.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, I'm going to go back with my sister and I'm going to revive my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Which was probably a mistake. But she's like, because in this world, you know, Jill can be her murdering best self and it doesn't matter, but she can't do that here.
Yeah, so Jill is a vampire in training.
Yes, and has been a spoilt little princess and sort of almost groomed as well.
Their storyline breaks my heart.
Yeah.
It really breaks my heart because the both of them just have so much shit.
Just been let down. And then let down by the adults they find and in the new world.
And, like, Jill doesn't realise what Jack's done for her. And Jack's, even when Jill's off being a murderous little minx,
Jack's like, that's still Jack's my twin still sister. Still looking
after her, yeah.
So, this is about what happens when Jack goes back to the world where there are man's mad scientist and there's a vampire king and who wants her to be his daughter slash more, it's implied.
Oh yeah, it's a bit dodge.
Yeah, well, she's definitely, it's definitely like a parody for being groomed, what happens to Jill.
Yeah, like she will eventually, he refers to her as his daughter, but eventually I assume she would become a wife.
Yeah.
Is the vibe I get.
The vibe is wrong, which is the point, I guess.
And then we have Across the Green Grass Fields, and this is where we meet Regan, although maybe she pops up in another book.
She does pop up later.
Later, I can't remember if she's...
In Cora's book, where she goes to the horrible boarding school. And yeah. Regan's there, and Cora breaks her out.
Have we done that one yet? No.
No, that's later.
Yes. Yeah. Regan is a girl who ends up in Hooflands, which is a horse world. And the reason she ends up there is because when she's going through puberty, she realises she's not like other girls. Not like other girls. But literally.
Yeah.
And she finds out that she was born intersex.
And that her parents chose to raise her.
Yeah.
As a girl.
And then she confides in her best friend, which is the wrong thing to do. She ends up in Hooflands, which is the first community she finds are centaurs.
Yes.
So they're like literally half and half.
Mm.
And it's all just such a great metaphor. Her book, actually, on second read, I picked up so much more and I thought it's actually very cleverly written. Mm. And it's all about... there's so many different species in this world, and whichever species is sitting on the throne, they're the ones that get like treated as the kind of higher horse species.
Was also that any human that comes along is supposed to save the world.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to turn her over to the queen so she can do that and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, especially the centaurs, like, all their, like, community and stuff.
So good.
Where she's just so, like, protected and loved.
And the way they get around, like, they very much have, like, you know, they have, like, barns they live in and stuff. And the way they get around having hooves. And they get really excited because she's got thumbs, so she can do things for them, like brush their hair and stuff.
And climb trees.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, these parts of her that felt so out of place in our world become something impressive in this world. Oh yeah, her storyline is just...
And she's also the ultimate horse girl.
Yeah, yeah, before she goes. It's the horse girl book.
Yeah.
Now it's where the drowned girls go.
Yeah, so this is... So at some point in the other books, Cora, who is from a water world where she was a mermaid... Quite a harsh world as well, but she loved it. She excelled in it. And also, she is plus size. And in that world, that's seen as a good thing. It's seen as a, like, a advantage in the sea. Keeps her warmer, makes her more beautiful. And then, which is the opposite of what she's experienced her whole life in the real world. And it's quite a sensitive sore point throughout, as she goes on adventures throughout the other books. That the characters would be like, oh, can you fit through this space? And she's like, what, because I'm fat? And they're like, well, no, it's just a really small space. I'm tall. I don't know if I can get through there.
No, but...
Not like, I don't negative. Need to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Like...
I like that Cade always talks about how elegant she is, like, moving in spaces.
Because she's quite athletic.
Yeah.
A lot of the points are made that she's, like, a really fast runner and really fast swimmer.
Yeah, like, people she outpaces don't think, Cade and which, stuff.
As someone who has lived in a chunkier body but also been quite athletic in the past and had people directly say, I didn't think you could run like that, to my face. It's not that far out of the experience she would actually have.
Mm.
That, because it's exactly what's been said to me. really, for real. I had someone surprised I could ride a bike. That was in Vietnam, though, so... And so basically at some point she accidentally falls into the ocean in Jack and Jill's world where there are some very harsh drowned gods and the sea suddenly becomes something so dangerous and scary to her.
Yeah, they're like calling to her, and then once they kind of get a taste of her,
yeah, so then she, like, to keep her mermaidness, so she's got coloured hair and her skin is different, so she has to take lots of baths to keep that going.
Mm.
And then she can't take these baths anymore because the drowned gods are calling to her, and Eleanor West is just not handling it as well as she could.
Eleanor is going through her own
shit.
Stuff.
So that's throughout. The lady who runs these. She's from a nonsense world, and she's basically decided she's going to wait until she's old enough that she's going a bit doolally so that she can go back to the nonsense world. Because her doors are different for everyone.
Yeah.
And her door is, she's always been able to go back. But it could become harder and harder to function in a nonsense world the more adult you get. So she's just decided to wait until she's so old she no longer gives a fuck.
Mm.
And she's going to go back. And I think we're inching towards that as the story goes on.
Yeah.
Because she gets more and more nonsense in the real world.
And Cade, who is her nephew.
Yeah.
He's older now. I think he might be 18 now, or just about on the cusp.
He's graduated the school, essentially. Yeah.
So he is kind of stepping into a role of taking over the school from Eleanor. So that is kind of...
That's happened slowly throughout the books. Yeah. But this is the book where, like, Eleanor really fluffs up. And that's when we start to see, like, oh, something's not okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because...
And she's kind of not even aware of how much she's
fluffed up.
Yeah. Then this is the point where the kids really take on the adventures themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and one of the rules of the school is no quests, but they are constantly questing. Yeah, they're just ignoring our rules at this point.
So, like, Cora's like, I'm not coping with what I can hear. I want to just forget. I want to go to the other school. So there is another school. Eleanor West's one is for one of the kids that want to go back, that are just trying to adjust to the real world and wait for their doors. It essentially is a waiting place, or to help you adjust and move on.
Mm-hmm.
There is another
positive place.
Yeah, there's another school that's for forgetting. Mm. And that's for the kids who have really bad experiences behind their doors.
Or their parents
really have sent them there against their will. Yeah.
I was thinking, like, when I was reading these books this time around, the whole way through, I was like, if my son disappeared and then came back talking about a world, what the fuck would I do?
Yeah.
I'd be like... Well, I would immediately think you've been kidnapped and groomed and shit.
Yeah.
But then, like, I don't know, it's crazy because you wouldn't believe it.
And then they've learned to live by different rules, and the rules of our world no longer make sense.
Yeah.
And also the rules of the world he went to would make more sense to his brain as well. Yeah.
And I would immediately go to the worst case scenario from our world, obviously.
Yeah.
Even though I read a lot of fantasy, I'm a little bit more primed to believe in other worlds, but I'm not going to believe in another world, you know?
So, yeah, Cora's like, send me to the school that's about forgetting. I just want to forget. And Eleanor's like, all right, off you go.
Yeah, which isn't very Eleanor.
No.
For starters.
It's a big boo-boo. And so off Cora goes, and, like, she doesn't say goodbye to any of her friends. She's just like, I just want to forget. She's so scared.
Yeah, so her roommate is Ansie, isn't it? Who we meet in the next book.
Yeah, so we find out Ansie's, but Ansie is good at finding lost things. That's all you need to know for now. Yeah, and Cora goes to this horrible boarding school where it's really, really strict rules. All the kids that came from nonsense worlds have to live by, like, strict schedules, thank you. We're just going to ignore that word. And then all the kids that came from logic worlds have to live like chaos.
Yeah, they have to eat, like, cake for breakfast.
Yeah, like, go completely against their natures.
It's, like, it's the most ridiculous form of...
I feel like this school's a parody of conversion therapy, though.
It is, yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got. And it's like, we don't talk about the schools, we don't mention the schools, not the schools, the doors. Like, it never happened. We don't acknowledge this. We just pretend this is a figment of your imagination. Even though there's kids at this school that have, like, magical powers left over from the world they come from.
And it's have, like, bright blue hair.
Yeah. And it's like, well, I'm just going to ignore that.
Yeah. Yeah, so some of the kids come back with magic they can use in our world.
Yeah.
Rarely.
There's always some kind of cost, but... or it ties them back to the world they come from.
Yeah.
It's not like...
Yeah, isn't there someone in the school that's really tiny and can fit through, like, mouse holes or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the evil school.
Yeah.
Because she's one of the ones that wants to forget.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's like, I just keep shrinking. What happens if I keep shrinking? Like, what's going to happen to me?
And there's one that you can't say her name or something.
Yeah. Is she the same person?
No, I think they're best friends.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember. But yeah, so the kids from Eleanor's go on a little quest to bring Cora back,
basically. And Cora's at this school, and basically over time, as she starts to feel a bit better, not because of what the school's doing for her.
No.
Just because she makes friends there and starts to reflect on, like, oh, okay, right, what this is what's right for me, this is what isn't. Cora starts to realise something's very wrong at this school and goes out of her way to fix it.
The school gave me, like, 90s... TV show vibes, like the Demon Headmaster or something like that, or like Goosebumps or something. Not in a negative way. It's just like I was getting quite nostalgic reading that one. And then we go to Lost in the Moment and Found. If you've been a listener for a while, you will know that we mentioned once that I read the intro to this before we started recording and was getting all upset about it.
I mean, so this is Anthony's book.
Yeah. So
this one's intense, I won't lie to you.
Yeah, it has content warnings at the beginning, and yeah.
I'll content warning them for you now. It's sort of grooming and sexual assault. So skip forward a bit if this also is not something you want to hear.
So Ancy, Ancy breaks my heart, her story.
It's just...
So Ancy lives...
You summarise it.
Ancy lives a happy life. And then one day when she's at like Target or something with her dad, he passes away. I think he has a heart attack or something. And she is only like 4 at this point.
And she sees the whole thing.
Yeah. And oh my God, I kept thinking about if my son, like if
that I can imagine again. Someone with kids. These two books
these
were hard.
I gave my kids big, big cuddles reading these. Her mum eventually remarries, and he is not a good person.
And she's got vibes right... Auntie has vibes right from the start that he is not to be trusted, and she tells her mum.
And her mum is very, very poor at making good decisions. She's very selfish. And she kind of, like... she manipulates Ancy, because when she's talking to Ancy and she's like, whatever this guy's name is, wants to marry me, you want me to be happy, don't you? And Ancy's like, yes. And I'm thinking, why would... No.
It's very much...
You should be looking after your child. What are you doing?
You get the feeling that the mum knows something's wrong with Ancy, but is putting blinders on because this man will offer her security and safety.
Yeah, yeah. And then she gets... They get married, she gets pregnant, they move to a new home. And so Ancy just is constantly losing stuff. Starts with her dad. She loses, like, her innocence. She loses her ability to trust adults.
And it kind of lists out... It's very cleverly done in how it shows how someone is groomed. Because it explicitly lists out the moments where Ancy has been proven that she will not be believed or listened to.
Yeah,
like all the small moments where she's been shown she cannot trust the adults in her life, that she will not be trusted to tell the truth, and even if she tells the truth, it won't be heard.
Yeah, so someone who is I was going to say a good groomer, but obviously not good, but you. Someone who wants a child to be disbelieved will start the process early and drop breadcrumbs. So, like, he asks her to set the table with the good china. So she does it because she's been asked by an adult to do it. And then when her mum says, why are these out? And he was like, and she says, he told me to do it.
And he's like, no, I didn't.
And then her mum is tired and pregnant and a dickhead. And believes him and has a go at Ancy. So that there's all these bits, like, where Ancy starts realising she won't be believed. And it culminates with when they move home.
He's closer to her.
Yeah, and the house is bigger, so her mum isn't, like, in line of sight as often. And when he comes into her room, and in their old house, her room was like her safe space. He comes in one night and he sits on her bed and she's like, I want you to leave, in the way that a child says it. And he's like, well, she says, this is my room, you can't come in here. And he says, well, no, it's my house, I own this room.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can do whatever I want, basically. And nothing happens to her, but she realises...
Ancy has this, like, pit in her stomach from the moment she meets him. But because she is, like, six, she cannot put words to it. And again, it's a really, really good description of that experience, in that she's a child, she doesn't know what this feeling is, but she knows it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But she does get out before any acts are done against her.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of the grooming and the steps to it and all the things she loses. That's why it's called Lost in the Moment and Found. It is, yeah, if you have ever been through anything like this, I feel like it would be a very hard book to read, because it was a bit intense for me as someone who has not experienced something like that. But it's very clever. It's a very clever book.
I mean, the content warning at the beginning is Shauna Maguire says, you know, it's something she's been through. So it's obviously come from experience, some of the feelings or whatever.
It's just the way she writes it from a child perspective.
Yeah, it's... Oh.
It's very clever.
Oh. So Ansi finds her door.
Sorry, on the knife a bit.
Well, it's not...
No, it's not
she
really.
She ends up in a... It's like a charity jumble shop that's...
Where the lost things go.
Yeah, where the lost things go. So if you lose, like, a sock... And you actually remember that you've lost it, you might find this door and then you'll be able to find your sock.
Mm.
And they have a load of stuff that just lives there because people lose it but forget that they've lost it or whatever. And different doors open up. Well, no, there's doors that open up to different places, like different worlds, different markets. So Ansi helps. Is she called Vera or something? Oh, something like that. The old lady that runs the store, she helps her go into these markets and find good trade items,
good stuff to eat,
yeah, for them to bring back.
It doesn't say the name of the lady in the description.
And then we find out that there's like some, there's sacrifices that are being made that Ansi is not told about.
Well, yeah, because Ansi lies about her age as well when she arrives in the world, because she doesn't want to get kicked out.
Yes, yeah, so she's 7 but says she's 9 because she feels like that was more grown up because she's a child. My son is 7, nearly 7, and that is the kind of thought process they would have.
And like, so when she starts getting like her period, but she's only been there a couple years, but she's in the body of a 13-year-old with the mind of a 7-year-old, essentially, because the doors cost her time.
Mm-hmm.
And the old lady that's there never tells her that and uses her, because the one who touches the door handle is the one who pays the price.
Yeah, and the old lady isn't as old as she looks.
But she's a very selfish lady who wants tasty snacks and doesn't care about costing a child her life. And that's why Ansi leaves and ends up in Eleanor West's home.
There's also at the end of the book, she goes to her old house to just kind of see her mum.
Well, she bumps into her mum, but she's obviously looks like a 16-year-old.
And her mum's like, oh, you look like someone that I used to know or something.
And then when she finds out what happened with her stepdad.
Yeah, so after Ansi went missing, obviously, he got investigated and they found stuff on his computer, so he's in jail. Mm.
Which means her baby sister never met him, which I was quite pleased about.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, maybe because I'm a parent and I'm just harsh. I didn't like her mum. And at the end I was like, I'm glad you were alone and shunned. But I'm not, because...
That's why I...
It's hard, but I do feel like she didn't do enough to protect Ansi.
No, she didn't. But you could, it kind of... The story is also quite kind to her mum in the sense of, like, why her mum keeps making the choices she does.
And also it is... from Ansi's point of view, who is a child. Mm. So, you know, children see the world quite different, and parents or adults can be doing good stuff for them to protect them, and they don't see it that way. Mm. I don't know. But yeah, I did find it hard to...
There's a lot of moments where her mum's like, I know something's wrong with Ansi, but I don't understand what.
Yeah.
And Ansi couldn't vocalise what was wrong, because nothing had happened.
No, no. And I think there was a point where she tried to explain how she was feeling and her mum just kind of couldn't understand, so just kind of ignored it or wrote it off or whatever. Or was just like, you need to learn to get along with him because I'm getting married.
Yeah.
Deal with it, basically. Yeah. Right. And then
we abandoned the ones that won my summaries, Jesus.
That one was a hard one, okay? So the next one.
Oh, that's me. Oh, no.
It kind of picks up almost where
So it seven ends, picks doesn't it? Back up after they've rescued Cora. Ends. So it's after they've rescued Cora because Antsy helps find lost things. So Antsy helps them find Cora.
Oh, yeah. So when Antsy goes, Sumi goes to the school to get Cora back, because Sumi's like, well, nothing bad can happen to me because I have to marry that prince.
And she's like, I know I'm not going to die. I'll be fine.
So she's so funny. She just doesn't give a shit because she knows she'll
My daughter will come back one day. Yeah. I know I go back because I have a daughter and a husband.
But that's kind of when the other children start to realise that Antsy can find things, including people's doors, and that starts to become a little bit kind of dangerous for Antsy.
Yes.
And especially because she's younger than she looks.
She hasn't told anyone that she is essentially, like, maybe I think 9-year-old trapped in a 16-year-old body.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the timeline.
Someone kind of gets it.
So someone from... Who is it? So someone from the evil school who ends up transferring to in the West school.
Yeah.
Because there was a girl there who aged, she was only in her door for half an hour, but aged 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, you speak just like that girl. Are you a little girl
like
trapped in an older body?
You speak like you're unsure all the time. You're not sure if you're saying
trying
the right
to sound
things.
Older.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, I knew someone who was a little girl trapped in a grown-up body. Is that what's happened to you?
Yeah, yeah.
And Antsy's like, finally someone gets it.
Thanks!
And they end up going back to Antsy's world. You find out, I love this whole bit with like the history of Antsy's world and how the lost and found place came to be.
Yeah, so it's actually, when Antsy's working there, there's also a talking, but what is it, a toucan?
No, like a crow. Magpie.
Magpie, that's it.
Magpies are from this lost and found world. So any magpie in our world can't speak.
Came from.
But they're from the lost and found world. But in the lost and found world, they can talk.
Yeah.
And they go back and Antsy kind of confronts the old lady of what she's done. She's like, I don't want you to do this to other kids. And there's already another girl there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Antsy tries to explain to her, but she's too young to understand.
And she's like, no, I'm just being helpful, Dad. I don't want to go back. I'm not safe there. And Antsy's like, I know. I wouldn't have been safe. I couldn't go home either. But like
Antsy in her book, without realising, had basically swapped one groomer for another, basically. Yeah. And just...
Oh, and the moment where she's Antsy's like still a little kid, but realises like all these adults have betrayed her. And that she has to step up and fix it.
Because
no one else is going to.
Yeah.
And she's like, fine, I'll do it. I'll stay here. I'll take care of the lost things. So no more children come through here and don't know the price. And I'm like, oh.
And in that book, they go to loads of other worlds. Like, we get to see Kate's
world. We start to
understand
how the doors work as well, though.
Yeah.
Because Antsy learns... Because the lost world... has so many doors to access, she starts to understand how the doors work, and the doors talk to her, the doors sound different to her and stuff.
Yeah.
So we learn
She's
more about...
She's becoming like keeper of the doors, isn't
we
she?
We learn more about how they work, which I thought was really interesting. Mm. Which, like, you don't really understand how the doors work until, like, book 9. It's very clever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because at first...
And everything you think you know is wrong.
At first, they're like, oh, they just appear and stuff, and... Yeah. But when Antsy's like, no, you have to be sure. That's why the doors spit you out. They're here to keep you safe. And if you're not sure, you're not safe. So they take you back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was listening to these books around the time that I... These two Nancy books was around the time I changed jobs.
Mm.
And I was like...
So you were quite...
It was quite an intense...
Quite emotional anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh dear.
So the next book, which is currently the last book, because it's all that Shauna Maguire has been signed on for. So this book 10. No, I'm just talking about the
future. Oh, you're just talking about the one that's coming out. Okay.
So this is going to be called Adrift in Currents Clean and Clear. And it follows Nadia, who she was best friends with Cora because they're both from like a water world.
Yes.
Nadia was like queen of the turtles. So she's going to hassle the turtles in the pond.
Yeah.
And on one of their quests, she took the place of, was it Nance? No, Sumi's soul. Sumi's soul. She agreed to stay in the death world so that they could take Sumi back. because she was like, my door can find me anywhere as long as there's water. So I'll stay here and I'll hassle the turtles in the death world because I'm queen of the turtles or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want to read the synopsis of it because I didn't read the synopsis of any of these books and I prefer to go in blind, especially because they're small books. But, yeah, the next book is her book. And
I'm assuming it's going to be a conclusion to the whole Eleanor thing, Cade taking over the school. Like, yeah. I think that's going to come
I'm assuming Nadia's going to find her door. Oh, no, she does find it at the end of the book where she gets left in the death world. Remember, she sees it at the bottom. So, yeah, this will obviously pick up with her in her world, but also somehow I'm guessing it's going to tie a big bow on the whole series as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the only books of Shauna Maguire that I've read under this pen name. Mm. She's got a few other series under this pen name, which I'd like to read. She also writes adult horror books under the name Mira Grant, which I've read one of and I enjoyed. I want to read that series. And she also... the rest are all done under Mira Grant.
Some of the audio books are actually narrated by Shauna Maguire as well. And I prefer the ones where she narrates.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she really captures it so much more, doesn't she?
Well, her Sumi voice is how Sumi sounds to me. Like, that's perfect.
Yes, yes.
She gets Sumi, like, perfect.
So before we finish up, a little about the worlds, because obviously we've discussed them a lot. There is a compass, a world compass that Eleanor's putting together. And if you go onto Shauna Maguire's website and also the Wayward Children's Wiki, they have a version of it on there. But both Shauna Maguire's website and the wiki have not been updated since like book 3 or 4. Okay. So I don't know what happened there. But yeah, so basically they've got it on like an axis. So at the north is virtue and south is wicked.
Yeah.
And then east is logical and west is nonsense. So you can be like high virtue, low logic, or stuff like that. So often the kids refer to their worlds as nonsense or logical, but then there's also the virtue and wicked that comes in as well.
Because Jack's world is logical, but also high wicked.
Yes.
But Sumi's world is nonsense, but also wicked, isn't she?
Yeah, so Eleanor usually puts them together with who matches well. But then through the series, when we see that she's kind of losing it a little bit, she puts two people together just because they're both nonsense. But one's nonsense virtuous and one's nonsense wicked. So they don't get along. Or one of them wasn't
nonsense
at
all. Or one
isn't even nonsense. It's logical.
Because
Cora
gets put in nonsense.
But she's not.
But she's from a very highly logical world. Yeah. There's lots of rules in her world.
Yeah. But Eleanor's like, oh, it's underwater. It must be nonsense.
Yeah, you're a mermaid. Of course it's nonsense. Yeah.
And then I think it's Christopher or Cade. I feel like it's Christopher. Starts talking about... Oh, it might be Cade, actually. Starts talking about how there's also, like, diagonal ones that need to be also added to the compass. So they're starting to build on the compass as they learn more about the worlds. Yeah, so it'd be quite interesting.
I think Auntie's knowledge is going to feed into that as well.
Yeah. So, great series. YA... Check the content warnings of every book before you go in, I would suggest. And strongly recommend the audios. They are all available on Everand in the UK anyway. Yeah.
They're all about 4 hours each, give or take. I mean, I exclusively listened to them. I didn't read a single one.
I've listened to them twice. And next time I'm going to read them, which is why I'm collecting the books. Like, I want to physically read them.
Yeah.
So I can take notes.
But I don't think we're doing, like, the worlds, when we go into the worlds that behind the doors, the descriptive, like, imagery is so vivid, and it's so, the worlds are so real feeling. Like, they are, you feel like you are there. Like, it's just in my head, I can't even, like, this was a real place. Like, Shauna Maguire's a fairy that went there. Like,
exactly.
Like, it just feels, they feel so real.
Like, the details.
And when you're in the mind of a child, it feels fairly authentic to me.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are quite young when they go through their doors.
She writes from a child's POV so well.
But not in a way that's irritating.
No. Oh, and the audiobook, Auntie's book, the narrator does so well there, because her voice, her child voice, and then her almost an adult but not quite an adult voice. Oh, she does it so well.
Yeah. So they're really beautiful. I know we made them sound, some of them sound quite heavy, but they deal with these really heavy topics in like this really beautiful settings.
Yeah.
Almost childlike way, but there's not children.
Yeah.
And it's all about like the loss of innocence and all this kind of stuff. Like most of them, their stories are about losing innocence and growing up.
Yeah. Which unfortunately everyone has to go through.
Yeah, they're such good books. Mm. I cannot emphasise that enough.
And they're about 160 pages, as Tony said, 4 hours-ish.
Yeah.
They don't feel too short, and they also don't feel too long.
They don't feel rushed.
They feel perfect.
The pace of them is great.
Like, you don't get to the end. Sometimes you're like, I would like more, but you're happy with how it's all gone. And, like, last week we discussed our buddy read, which was novella, and I was like, I wanted more. I wanted it to be a longer book. But you don't feel that way with these, because they're just perfect.
I don't know how, in such a short space, to make them so real feeling. Mm. Like, I don't feel like the characters are lacking depth.
No.
Like, they all feel very real people to me.
Yeah, so 10 out of 10, recommend. Please pick them up.
Yep.
That's all we've got to say.
That's all there is to say, really, basically. This is just an hour to convince you.
Yeah.
I hope we did it.
Let us know if you are now going to pick them up.
I think anything we spoil it anyway is going to ruin the stories for you, especially if you read them out of order. You know what would happen to Sumi and all that kind of stuff, so.
Very good for various representations as well, so, yeah 100% pick up.
That's it.
Cool. Right. Done.
You're up. Do you think?
Wherever you listen to your podcast episodes, please like, share, subscribe, leave us a rating, set up auto-download. Any of those good things will help us reach more listeners, which we would really appreciate.
Cool. And
I think that's it, yeah. We will speak to you next week for some sort of other episode.
I can't remember, but I just looked at the schedule. There will be a podcast. Goodbye.